If you need a ride from the church down there, then Justin will get with him, and he'll make sure that you have a way down there to Harvest Time Christian Academy. That's this Friday night. Foothills Youth Fellowship Choir will be singing beginning at 6 o'clock, and then as to practice or combined choir practice, and then the youth service itself will start at 7 o'clock with Brother Heath Williams will be doing the preaching. And then the Cherry Grove Men's Conference, don't forget if you've signed up for that, the doors open at the same venue at 12:30 on Saturday. The preaching will commence and the conference will begin at 2 o'clock. And I think we've got 36 signed up now. We had 32, then 34. Now we're up to 36. So if you're signed up for that, you know who you are. So come prepared to worship with other like-minded men that will be making up that men's meeting tonight, that Saturday. By way of prayer request tonight, when we close out the service, we're going to have an altar of prayer this evening. We've just got a lot of heavy hearts, a lot of things going on that we need to pray for. And we could pray for Brother Kenny and Miss Shirley. Brother Kenny has his treatments. Miss May still having treatments. Let's not forget her. But then there's other people. Jerry and Rebecca's got prayer requests on their heart. Kippy's mother is probably very close to passing, to be honest with you. She's at the hospital. So Kippy and Kimmy and Nikki and the rest of that whole Hamby family is at the hospital this evening. So you pray for that family as, like I said, Kippy's mother's very ill. And then Miss Wanda had prayer requests for Brother Danny, who's still sick, and especially for Danny's mom. So let's not forget that. There's just a lot to pray about. Our own youth revival, March 20th and 21st here with Brother Cody Shue. Brother Chris leaves Friday morning about 3 a.m., leaving for the Honduras. So we'll pray especially for that request as well. He's looking for a soul harvest in the Honduras. And I think they're taking about 30 men down there to do a work. And Brother Chris will be a part of that mission group. So you pray for that meeting as well. And then as soon as he gets back, they'll have a family vacation. Then he begins his candidate training classes to become a Rock of Ages missionary. So we're going to pray for him whenever we pray too. So tonight, if you've got a copy of God's Word, go with me to the book of John, chapter number 6. John chapter number 6, just for a few minutes, and I don't think we'll be lengthy tonight. We'll be as long as the Lord wants us to be, and we won't be a minute longer nor a minute shorter. I've never been a long-winded preacher. It seemed like Sunday it got a little bit away from me, but I wasn't watching the clock, and I don't watch the clock, and I'm trying not to watch it tonight, but I don't think it'll be a lengthy message. But it's a warning again tonight, so whenever I give you a warning, you need to take it as such. They put warnings on these bottles, and they put warnings on stuff for a reason. It's to help you, and it's to keep you from being hurt or to keep you from being harmed or ingesting something you shouldn't. It's usually for our benefit if we'll read the signs and read the warning labels. And tonight's nothing more than another warning. And it's found here in the 6th chapter. You say, well, you're in the book of 6th chapter of John. That's all about the bread and all about that stuff. There's a lot of good stuff in there, but God's given me a warning out of this. And we'll preach it tonight as with the Lord's help, the way that He hopefully will want us to hear it. And if I were to give a title to the message tonight, it's simply going to be The Dangers of Walking Away. You've heard it said, just walk away. Walk away from it. Walk away. There's times in life that you should walk away. Somebody that, Brother Steve, you can't walk with them. The Bible said you can't two walk together except they be agreed. And if they're not of your like mind and fellowship and you have no kindred spirit with them, walk away from them. But there's some things that I'm going to give you the dangers of walking away from tonight. And it is found here very explicitly in about 8 or 10 verses. And I'll bring that message tonight. But since I've been a pastor going on 20 years, I've watched a lot of people come. And I've watched a lot of people go. And I won't use Brother Feldman's saying. It's probably cliche to say that some of them look better leaving than they ever did coming. Brother Feldman kind of coined that phrase, and y'all remember it very well. Whenever he would say that they looked better coming than they did leaving than they did a coming, what's he saying? He was saying that there was a problem somewhere, and if there was a problem somewhere, it's probably better for them just to go on and carry on and get on out of here and not hinder the work that's been going on here. I've heard of Brother Feldman that people come in and plan on disrupting or maybe come in for an ulterior motive, and him just rebuke them right from the pulpit. I didn't ever see that, but Miss Wanda, I was told by, as one of those really close to him, that there was a man that had been causing trouble, and whatever church he'd ever been in. And said, Brother Feldman just called him out. He's sitting where Brother Chris is sitting, somewhere up in here. And said, Brother, good to have Brother Chris with us today. And Brother, you're welcome to sit in here and worship along with us. Praise the Lord. You know, if you'll come in here and worship with us. But if you come over here to cause trouble like you've done everywhere else, then you might as well just put your Bible under your arm and get on out of here. Now, that too's a warning. And y'all shaking your heads like you remember that. I've never run anybody off, but I've been claimed that I've run them off. I've had some that said I was preaching politics one time, and they packed up like a bunch of Arabs and left. That's all right, too. I try not to run anybody off. I'd rather bring you into the altar and rather than drive you out the door. But with the Lord's right help tonight, I want to give us a warning about the dangers of walking away. You say, well, are there dangers of walking away? You make that decision after we get through reading tonight. I would invite you to stand if you're able and would like to, and we'll give reverence to reading God's Word. We'll be in the book of John, chapter number 6 tonight. And man, there's various implications, various, what's another word for an implication? Various, somebody said something? What would you say? See, I'm trying to dumb it down up here for my son-in-law. What's another word for implication? There's various repercussions, I guess. What'd you say? Nothing. Wrong use of the word. There's various repercussions. There's various implications. Walking away has many fingers. It reaches far and it reaches wide. It touches a lot of lives, especially to those that are of the faith. If you have hanged your hat upon the banner of a Christian fellowship and a Christian work and maybe a Baptist church or maybe a ministry, maybe Brother Chris has now hung his hat on that of a Christian missionary that's sponsored by Rock of Ages Baptist Church, Calvary Baptist Church, as a missionary with Rock of Ages Ministries, then you're stepping out on faith to do that. And to walk away from such a work, or to let down the banner, or let down your end of the garment, to let down your end of the tattered bed that is bearing one that needs to get some help from the Lord, to let that corner down and to walk away from that work that God hath placed you in has severe implications. It has severe ramifications. It has severe repercussions, or whatever you want to say. It's far reaching whenever you do walk away. And that's what I want to warn us about. I believe this is what God's got for us tonight. There's many, many things that we should do. And the number one above all is stay faithful to whatever it is that God hath put you in. So we are in the book of John, chapter number 6. We'll pick up our reading tonight, way down in the chapter tonight. We'll pick up the reading all the way down into verse number 60. All the way down into verse number 60. So we're in John 6 and 60. And the Bible says, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is an hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doeth this offend you? What? And if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, or who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. For he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. This evening, I'm going to ask Brother Forrester, if he will, to bless us. It's good to have you with us, young man. You weren't here when I announced your engagement to Miss Kayla, but we're excited for y'all, and we're praying for you. You have the backing of this whole church, and we're going to be praying for y'all as you plan and you just try to establish the things going forward. And I ask you to stay close to the cross. I've already talked to Kayla and them about some counseling and that kind of thing, and we're here for you. The whole church is here for you, and we're behind you. So just if you would ask God to bless us, and we'll bring you a short message tonight. Amen. As you're being seated this evening, with the Lord's help tonight, I want us to kind of examine the dangers, if you will, the problems associated with walking away. And there are some safeguards that are put in place. And Brother Pope preached a message probably a couple or 3 years ago, and I've never forgotten it. We were at Faith Community Baptist Church during one of the regular youth meetings. I don't know if it was This Generation for Christ or whether it was the Foothills Fellowship, but we had found our way down there to Faith Community Baptist Church. And Brother Stephen Pope was doing the preaching, and while he was down there, he preached on the rumble strips. Does anybody even remember that, vaguely remember that message? Two or three people might still remember that message, but everything that he preached on that night were the P's. And these are the P's that were put in place as warnings, as maybe the rumble strip, and he used the rumble strip on the sides of the highway that kind of help you to stay in the middle of the lane. If you get over there, you hit that rumble strip, and it immediately reminds you that you've gone too far to the side of the road, be it to the one side or to the other. You're going to hit that little rumble strip that's on the sides of the interstate. And he said that the rumble strips represented the pastors in our lives that try to preach the word of God to us and try to keep us on that straight and on the narrow way by feeding us the word of God, that we then, as we digest it and take it way down inside of us, that it'll help us, and then we too can be profitable and be fruitful in our Christian growth and Christian walk. But it was not just the pastors, it was also the parents. And parents are a great big rumble strip in the lives of these children. And the parents, let me tell you, it amazes me that you can have parents that will be so devout in the upbringing of children that you can have one that would raise up a preacher right out of the home, but in the same home, you'll raise out one that won't go the way of Christianity, that'll walk away and maybe get into some of the baser things of life. And you can have that in any home. You can have one that will embrace the cross, and then you'll have one that will shun it. But it's not always on behalf of the parents that happens. So parents and pastors, and there were many things that he preached, but tonight I want to help us tonight with this thought. What are some of the dangers of walking away? What are some of the dangers that we have in our life if we start to stray one way or the other and get outside of the faith wherein God hath called us? And I want to go right back to the scriptures because I believe, Brother Steve, the best thing for me to do is to preach the scriptures, because the Bible says to preach the word. So we'll start right back out in verse number 60 of that 60th chapter. And here's what it says. It says, many therefore of his disciples that when they had heard this, they said, this is an hard saying. And what were they referring to was what had just previously been written up in the passage of text just before where I'm reading. And he talks about the drinking the blood and eating the bread, which was to symbolize his flesh. And there were many other hard sayings that our Lord and Savior hath put into the scriptures. It's a hard saying when God tells you to love your enemies. There's a lot of people, if they're against me, I don't want to be around them. And it really is, Miss Ginger, very hard for us. And I'm saying us because I feel like it's the same way for you that it is for me. It's hard for us to love people that almost are unlovable. It's hard for us to love somebody, Steve, and to pray for them, which would do what? Which would despitefully use you, oh, for their name's sake. What's that all about, preacher? That's what the Bible says for us to do. Love them that would curse you. Love them that would hate you. Love them that would turn on you. And if somebody were to smite you, what did they do, Brother Chris? You're supposed to turn the other. To me, that isn't a hard saying. Because when somebody hits me, I'm like Lester Johnson back there. I'm going to cross their T and dot their I for them. And that's just the way it is, Brother Lester. And we're going to try to even the score really quickly. We have a hard time praying for those that despitefully use us. We have a hard time loving them that are unlovable. And I guarantee you tonight, if I come back there and spit in Gerald Roberts' face, it's going to be a bad day for both of us, because he's going to tear into me like a tornado in a wheat field. And then it's just all over for me and him both. So I'm saying these are hard sayings. But the first thing that I want to give you a warning of is this. It is a hard thing, and it is a fearful thing, and it is a dangerous thing when we walk away from the precepts of God's teaching. God's teaching tells us all the ways of life. And namely, it is this, that you must be born again. And if we walk away from that, then we ourselves are dooming ourselves unto a devil's hell. That's what's going on, Brother Steve. If we turn from the precepts of God's word, then we say that those Ten Commandments are of none effect, as we tried to preach the other night. Whenever we make the word of God of none effect, it means that we might as well have had our conscience seared as with a hot iron, to where it doesn't even bother us anymore. God doesn't convict us anymore whenever we don't use the scriptures as our guide and our moral compass for what God told us to do and not to do, because the scripture is the rule book. The scriptures are the instruction manual for raising children. The scriptures are the instruction manual for you and Miss Patty in which to conduct your married life. The scriptures are the rule book for me as a pastor and how to conduct myself as an under shepherd in the church house. The scriptures tell you, Brother Chris, how to be a missionary. The scriptures tell you how to pray. The scriptures tell her how to be a devout and a chaste wife, pure, according to Proverbs 31, that her children might rise up and call her blessed. The scripture tells all these things, and when we err from the scripture, there is a danger associated with that, because if I err from the scriptures in the precepts of my job and my calling and my unction from God, then this church is going to fail or falter because of that. If you do it as the daddy, your children will suffer. If you do it as a husband, then your wife may suffer. If you do it as a wife, your husband may suffer, and so on and so goes. So there's a danger when you walk away from the precepts of God's word. Amen. There's a danger, Steve, when you step outside the boundary of those scriptures. Right. So you said, can you clearly step outside the boundaries of those scriptures? You better believe you can. Or how else could you contort the scriptures? How else could it be that you would change the scriptures? And when I say change the scriptures, there are people then, Brother Archie, that would contort the scriptures by using different scriptures. Do you need other scriptures to understand the scriptures that I am reading tonight? Well, we're quiet tonight. We don't need another scripture. Brother Archie, if you can't read this one, it's on what grade level? Fifth? He said fifth. Oh, I got another number. Is that about right? Cole, you're a scholar. Okay, maybe not. They say it's written on a fifth to eighth grade level. And if we can't understand a fifth to eighth grade level, we probably already got problems. It's not real hard to understand thou shalt or thou shalt not. Right? Man, we're quiet tonight. Say amen. There you go. Now that you're awake, it's a dangerous thing to err from the scriptures. It's a dangerous thing whenever the scriptures that the preacher is preaching, Brother Chris, and they mean nothing to you. I'm telling you, these scriptures missing, that means something to me. And I take them to heart whenever the scripture, I don't care who's doing the preaching, whenever the man of God is right and dividing the word of God and it pricks my heart, I want to know what the scripture said that I might move myself closer in line with that scripture rather than find another scripture that would move in line with my life. Amen. Or find me a church that would line up better with my life. I don't even know who put that out there the other day. If I could find it, I would read it to you. I'm not going to go there. But somebody was wanting a church where it was contemporary. Nobody was judgmental. The pastor didn't yell and spit and stammer and stammer. And the music was thumping and everything was just glory. And everybody's all happy, go lucky, and that's just the way it's going to be. We want one of them kind of churches where we come as we are and we can leave as we came. And everything's going to be fine. Nothing's going to be changed in the meantime. God helps, right, Brother Archie? There's a danger of walking away from the scriptures. Look in verse number 62:3. What if ye, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. What does that word quickeneth mean? Somebody really yell it out. That gives life. It is the Spirit that provides us with the life in Christ in which we live. And it said, not only is it the Spirit that quickeneth, but the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Flip over just a couple pages to John chapter number 16 and verse number 13. And I want to read this with you. John chapter number 16. In verse number 13, and just tell you this, that it is a danger when you walk away from the Scriptures, but it is also, Brother Steve, a greater danger when you walk away from the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And when you walk away from the Holy Spirit, you're saying, I don't need His guidance. I do not need Him, the Holy Spirit, telling me what to do, or what to say, where to go, how to dress, how to conduct myself when I'm on a date, how to conduct myself when I'm not on a date, how to conduct myself when I'm by myself, how to conduct myself when I'm in a crowd. What you're saying, Steve, is I've got this and I don't need Him. It's a dangerous thing when you walk away from the Scriptures. It's a greater thing when you walk away from the Spirit. John chapter 16 and verse number 13 tells us these words. Let's get 12 and 13. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Chapter number 16, verse number 13 says, howbeit when He, that is the person of the Holy Spirit, it says that when He, look at this, the Spirit of truth, and that S should be capitalized in your King James Bible. It says, when He, the Spirit of truth is come, read this with me. He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you the things which to come. I see you say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, chapter number 2, verses number 11 and 12, tell us there that in the latter day, He's going to send strong delusions unto the earth, that people would what? That they would believe a lie, and that they would be damned. And I'm telling you what, it is the Holy Spirit that guides us into some truth. No, the Bible says, that guides us into all truth. And it's a dangerous thing when you walk away from the Holy Spirit of God. What you're saying is, I don't need that Spirit because I've got this in my own right. I can walk just as close as I want to walk. I can talk just as close as I want to talk. And I can live just as close as I want to live. And I don't need Him to guide me. That's dangerous. So you're saying I didn't need the Scriptures and I sure don't need this Spirit. I'm doing just fine the way I am. But Scott, if we don't have the Scriptures, we don't have a church. And if we don't have the Spirit, we don't have a church. If you don't have the Spirit inside of the Trinity of your family, Casey and Allie, you have no marriage. If you don't have the Spirit of God inside of your heart, you're lost and undone without God. But it's a dangerous thing if you're already saved, Brother Steve, if you say, I don't need Him. So you didn't need Him in salvation? Then you're lost. But now that you are saved, you can keep yourself saved. Oh, there you go. Now you've kept yourself saved. I don't think so. It's a dangerous thing when you walk away from the Scriptures. It's a greater thing when you walk away from the Spirit. But look what he said. I'm going back to the same passage of Scripture. Verse number 63 of chapter 6. Said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. If you've got life tonight, and I trust that you do, I'm talking about life in the Spirit, everlasting life. I'm not talking about life in the flesh. We've all got that. We're here. If you're saved, you have life. Amen. Not just life, but you have life more abundantly. Amen. And you have life eternal. Where did that life come from? The Bible said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It is the Spirit that made you that way. So then why would you walk away from that? Somebody in our Sunday school class the other day, Will, it might have been when you were teaching, said their mama used to say that I brought you into this world and I'll take you out of here. Who was that? Yeah, it was you that said it. You ever heard that?
I told my son that.
Oh, you told your son that? I'll walk over here. Do you know, Scott, that's exactly what God's got in his power to do? If it is the Spirit that quickeneth, it's the Spirit that gives you life, then who is that that can take life? The Bible said to fear not man to destroy this body, but destroy the one that can destroy both body and soul with the devil's hell. We've got that Spirit of God that quickeneth us or hath made us alive. And bless God, there are people that will walk away from the Scriptures. They will walk away, Brother Chris, from the Spirit of God, and they will involve themselves in the baser things of life, get struck out and strung out on sin, and the next thing you know, God will take them out of here. And if you don't believe that, you're not right in dividing the Scripture, because he will destroy the flesh to save the soul. You're not going to take my name into that hog pen. Be careful when you're casting your pearls before swine. Be careful when you do that, because he can take you out of here. He gave you that life and he can take that life. Take you on to heaven before you do that to his good name. Keep reading with me. I'm right below where I stopped reading, where it said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Go down to 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Who did it say that it was? It said it was his disciples. These are many followers. There are many disciples. And then just beyond that, then he said unto the 12, he asked them, he said, will you also go away? It's a dangerous thing when you walk away from the Scriptures. It's a greater danger when you walk away from the Holy Spirit of God. But I suggest to you, it is just as equally dangerous when you walk away from the Savior. It is the Savior that guides you. It is the Savior that guides you through the Holy Spirit. And bless God, they had him in a physical nature. It wasn't just the Spirit that we so enjoy. They had him in the flesh. It was him that was breaking bread and feeding people. For them to walk away from them was to say, we no longer need your provisions. Oh, we no longer need your promises. You come to the widow's son at Nain that's dead and you raised him up. We don't need that promise. We don't need the promise of the resurrection. We don't need the promise of a bread from heaven, which he just told him in John chapter number 6. We don't need that water from the rock. We don't need any of that stuff, Lord. We'll just take care of ourselves, because the Bible said from that point, his disciples walked no more with him. So then he looks at the 12 and said, are you going to leave also? Will you also go away? I would ask that tonight. How many of you are ready to quit? There's a danger in walking away, and I'm going to show you that in just a second. I am preaching, but I've not really got to where I want to settle down just yet. You said, oh man, I read your, oh man, he ain't even there yet. Let's look at some of these implications really quickly. As a pastor, if I walk away, what happens? Nothing. We just get another pastor. Okay. If our piano walks away, does that matter? No, we just get another piano player. If our Sunday school teachers walk away, does that matter? No, we just get another Sunday school teacher. I suggest you were wrong on all accounts. You let Miss Macy stay out. Does it sound just a little bit different in the choir? You better believe it does. And I'll tell you this, Brother Kim, if I'm not the man for this church for this hour, then I'm gravely mistaken and greatly fooled. I believe I'm supposed to be here at this point in time, at this juncture in time. God has put this church and this pastor together at this very moment. Is it going to be that way next week and the week after and the week after? I don't know that. I do know this right now. This is what God's got. And if I err from the truth and I step away from the Scriptures and I walk away from the Scripture, I walk away from the Spirit, I walk away from our Savior, you know what, Brother Steve? That's going to have a great implication on this church. It'll change the face of the church. Especially if I just finally threw the towel. I'm going to go down the road and build one. Or go up the road and build one. I'll go up there and find me an empty storefront. What in the world? That's going to hurt the cause of Christ. You better believe that it will. Does it matter if the pastor steps away? Does it matter if the parents step away? Do you know what you're telling your children? Well, Nima, do you know what you're telling those 73 grandchildren and great-grandchildren you've got? If right now Are you a Mimi, Nini, Mammy, Grandpa, Goompa? Who? Ma. Just plain old Ma? M-A or M-A-W? Ma. Okay. If Ma decides that she's no longer going to church, does that have any implications? Does that have any kind of repercussions? Is there not then a danger of walking away? Do you see what you're telling your kids as far as conflict resolution? Do you see what you're telling your children as far as trying to make amends? Are you telling them to rip chapter number 18 of the book of Matthew out of your Bible because the gospel steps really don't matter? God should never have put them in there, and that's not the way of remedy. If somebody wrongs you, you black their eye and you go a different direction. That's not what it says. It says for me and Steve to get together and work that thing out between me and Steve. And if we can't get it out, we're going to drag in some unbiased third party and let him hear the matter. And then we're going to come together. And if we can't, Brother Steve, what do we do then? But God, we got a church full of people that are willing and ready and able to hear according to the scriptures. And if that doesn't work, then we're going to have to part ways. But I'm telling you, God give us ample reason and time to fix these things. There's a danger in walking away from what God said to do. You're showing your kids that church didn't really matter all the time. You're telling the kids that those scriptures didn't matter the whole time. You're telling your kids that the Spirit of God, which draweth all men to repentance, that really didn't matter anyway. You're telling him that the Savior, the one brother Arch that hung between the heaven and earth, he really didn't matter anyway. So just walking away from all that. You're condemning them. We're condemning our kids to hell. Whenever we won't even do what we're supposed to do. We ought to be going to church and loving God and praying with your family, praying over your family, and praying with your family. Do your kids get to see you pray? Do your family get to pray together? Do you ever pray with your loved one? Do you ever pray with your wife? Does she ever pray with me? Yes, she does. The other night, I just wanted to hear her pray. She didn't know what I was doing. And I said, will you pray? And she said, you want me to pray? And I said, yes. She prayed the most humble, sweetest little prayer. I'm telling you what, it blessed my heart. But do your kids, have they ever heard you pray? Have they ever heard Ma pray? Has Ma ever prayed over the kids? Sherry, the grandbabies ever hear you pray? They should. If they had, they should. Keep reading, chapter number 6, verse number 68. Then Peter answered to him. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I told you walking away from the scriptures has grave consequences. Walking away from the Spirit, the only one that can satisfy your hungry soul, the only one that can woo you and move you the way that He does, has some serious repercussions and implications. Walking away from the Savior Himself would have been saying that I don't need your provisions, Lord. I've watched you break bread and feed 5,000 over here. I've watched you do this over there. I've watched you touch blinded eyes. I've seen what you did to Bartimaeus. I've seen what you did to the man with the withered hand. I've seen what you've done in all these accounts. But I don't believe I want any part of that. That's what they were saying whenever it said that from this point in time on, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And then Jesus said unto him, will you also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. This is my last one for those who's keeping up. And this is the greater damnation. The Bible says that if you err from the Scriptures and walk away, you err from the Spirit and walk away, you err from the Savior and you walk away. Lastly, we're going to use Peter's own words here. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? What did he say, Chris? You have what? You have the words of eternal life. If you walk away from salvation, that is the greater damnation. You said, well, how can you walk away from salvation? Brother Potts, it's because whenever you sit on the pew and the Holy Spirit comes by you, you just brush it off and you say, not tonight, Lord. And then the songwriter comes up with a song, "Oh, why not tonight?" And he said, "Not tonight, Lord. Oh, why not tonight? Not tonight, Lord. I'm just not ready for that. There's some things I want to do. There's some places I want to go. I still got some wild oats to sow, and I'm just not ready for that. Leave me alone, Lord." And you walk away from the Spirit. You walk away from the Scripture. You walk away from that holy Savior that went to a cross and died for you. And then lastly, you're going to walk away from that salvation. He said, Peter said, "Lord, whom shall we go? You got the words to eternal life. Salvation is full. Salvation is free. But salvation is not cheap." Are you hearing me? Salvation is free to whosoever will come and take of the water of life freely. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. Charles, it cost him his life on the cross of Calvary. And he shed his blood, see, that we might have life and have it more abundantly, but that we might have it eternally. Amen. To walk away from salvation is to greater damnation, because then hell becomes your home. Amen. The Bible said, and the books were opened, and another book, which is the book of life. And those names that were found therein, Brother Chris, can you imagine scrolling down through the pages? There's one of there's the A's and the B's and the C's. And you're thinking, uh-oh, my name starts with a D. He's about ready to get down to the D. Boy, I hope my name is there. You know if your name's there or not. The Bible then goes on to say that whosoever's name were found therein. The Bible said, in the sea, and I saw the dead and the small and the great stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book which was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of it, and those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man to their works. And the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I can think of nothing sadder than watching somebody walk away from that final altar call. Well, you say, when is their final altar call? I don't know that. I'll tell you this, and I'm telling you this in closing. Several years ago, I guess I wasn't pastor here then. May have been, may not have been. It may have been 12 or 15 years ago. I was running a revival at a church on the other side of the county. Was that when I was still at Mountain Valley? You know where I'm going with this. I found my way into the altar that Tuesday night with a lady. This is a true story. God is my witness. I have no reason to lie to you. I want to show you the importance of this. I got into the altar and I prayed with this lady. Brother Greg, the only thing she was wanting to know was whether or not she was fully saved. She just wanted to get her salvation experience nailed down. Anybody ever had to do that? Just kind of finally get it all nailed down? I prayed with her that night. Man, she got up. Had a quickness in her step. Thank God for what he did. You know what he did? He didn't save her that night. He gave her that full assurance that she had longed for. He just kind of wrapped her up that night with some of his little love and grace. Amen. You said, why are you telling us this story? She wanted to know. That Thursday night, which is 2 days, that was a Tuesday night when that happened. Thursday night of that same week, she come back Wednesday night to church. She was there that night. Thursday night, somebody come off of North Oak Ridge Church Road right above North Wilkes High School and T-burned her right in her door and killed her. She died 2 days after she finally accepted and got that full assurance of salvation. Miss Sterling, if she was ever saved, she was saved when she come up there and got that assurance. But I'm telling you what, it sure did this preacher. It sure did that family a lot of good to see her in that altar. See, she could have easily have walked away from salvation. She could have walked away from the Spirit. She could have walked away from the Savior. And nobody would have ever known the otherwise. I was running another revival. Cindy, where were we at? We were at Round Hill Baptist Church. And I believe I preached that night on the prodigal. Running revival, and somebody had walked down that dirt road. If you'll know, the pavement ends right at the church. begins gravel on beyond that and went on down around the road. That person come walking up through there that night, just slipped in the back of the church. That person come up and got saved, Brother Steve. Just happened to be walking through there. I don't remember what I was preaching on. I think it may have been the prodigal. It could have been something else. But anyway, just happened to be walking by that night. Just happened to walk in the church. Just happened to come in and just happened to get saved. I suggest to you that all of those happenings didn't just happen. God was working that to His good and His glory, to that person's salvation. Tonight there's a grand danger and a grave danger of you walking away tonight. When you walk away, you could be taking somebody in your wake and in your tow. You could be taking somebody out. Rather than throwing them a lifeline, you're dragging them out further away from the shore. As we stand and Miss Macy comes down, Brother Scott comes up, I would ask you tonight, we're not going to respond with the altar of prayer that we will close with until after he sings at least one verse. If you need to come tonight, if I had a dollar for everybody that ever walked away from the church that I pastored, walked out of my life, just walked away, some of them didn't even say bye, left footprints on our hearts as they left, I'd probably be wealthy. Did I quit because of it? No. I'm not going to quit because of it. I want to read a verse of Scripture in the book of 1 John as I close tonight. Paul dealt with it. You'll deal with it. I'll deal with it. We'll all deal with it. It's namely this. You'll have people walk out on you. First John chapter number 2, verse number 19. Before I read that verse, I'll tell you this. Paul said that he had somebody walk out on him. He said, Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world. John chapter number, 1 John chapter number 2, verse number 18 and 19 says, little children, it is the last time. As you have heard, the Antichrist shall come, and even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that is, that at the last time. So they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not at all of us. I have to look at it that way. Whenever sometimes somebody walks out, they just weren't of us. Because if they were of us, the Bible said they would have continued with us. But now they've gone on. That might be made manifest that they were never of us. As Brother Scott's chosen song tonight, number 161 in your hymnal. If you need to come, come. But I'm telling you, parents, listen to me just a minute. There's a danger if you walk away from God. Grandma, Grandpa, there's a danger if you mess up and walk away. Deacons and Sunday school teachers, preachers, pastors, it's a danger if we walk away. You're telling your kids it wasn't all important anyway. Because this is how we handle conflict. This is how we handle division. This is how we handle turmoil. This is how we deal with stuff. Watch this. We're just going to walk off. Walk away. You're saying whatever it is that you walked away from, be it scriptures, the Savior, the Spirit, or salvation, it was not important anyway. As these pray and as Scott sings.
Jesus is calling his name.